the people that they must understand who they really are. Not as far as, you know, being Christian, but the real purpose of who you are. You've got to understand that we have been dealt a hard blow in many of our lives. We've been dealt an unfair blow, a blow that causes us to degrade ourselves. And we feel that we feel okay doing so because I don't want people to think I'm somebody. That is exactly the opposite. You should want people to know that you're somebody. Not by your own braggadocio, not by your own bravado, but by your stance in life. People need to know that you are confident by your squared shoulders and your lifted up head. People need to understand that you are secure because you are no longer bowing to the negative, but you are standing positively. And somewhere or another in religion, I won't say Christianity, because Christianity teaches us who we are. But religion somehow takes away. Hallelujah. It takes away from who we are. We've sung for years, I am a poor pilgrim of sorrow, lost in this world alone. I have no hope for tomorrow. I'm just trying to make heaven my home. That has been a song of destruction, and it's been called the Negro spiritual. But I want the Negroes to understand that is not God, and that is not who we are. I'm talking to the Negroes right now. All the Negroes, make some noise. And for those of you bougie ones that say, I'm not a Negro, whatever you call yourself of melanin and color, I want you to understand the reason why you just did that is because you've been made to believe that being Negro is less than. Baby, let me tell you something. You are who you are. And my message today is simply, I am enough. I don't hear anybody. I am enough. I know we have been led to believe so many different things. We have been divided and conquered in our culture. I see that there's Japanese here, there's whites here, there's mulattoes here. I know there's a lot of people here. But we have been, in our culture, we have been divided and conquered and pitted against one another based on the hue of our blackness, the hue of our skin color. I know, this is not a political message at all. I'm just saying, and it has damaged our psyche. It has damaged us and caused us to have a false bravado or a self-deprecation. I'm trying to get through here. Hallelujah. But it is time for us to shake free, be free from all those negative trappings, to be free from all of the struggle of culture, to be free from black, white, yellow, brown, and red, to be free enough to say, I am not just a blip on the screen, I am a kingdom citizen. I am from another world. I am in this world, but I'm not of this world. I don't hear anybody here. I am a kingdom citizen. And it's time. Because there's too many of us that are living so low and have become so comfortable living so low that we don't pass anything of positivity onto the generations that are under us. We're fighting with the negative aspect of our mind, our thoughts, and we have our children living in confusion. Other cultures tell their children who they are. I don't hear anybody. A strong culture tells their children who they are. A strong culture. I don't hear anybody. A strong culture will inculcate in their child consistently who they are. They will watch their child and they will see the traits and they will see the different significant nuances in their child and they will start to build on what they see. Oh, y'all gonna make me go crazy. Amen. When my mother saw music in me, she fostered music. When my mother saw ministry in me, she put me into a wonderful church that had ministry. Amen. And although she was broken, although my mother was broken into shards and pieces and fragments, being a child born of rape, her stepfather was her grandfather. I know that didn't make sense. But my grandmother was raped by her stepfather from 10 years old to 12 years old, from 1930 to 1932, consistently, until she became impregnated in 1932 and had my mother in 1933. Oh, yeah. I can talk about it now. They're gone. I couldn't talk about it before. And had her in 1933. And my mother's father was really her grandfather. And broke my mother. And then they lied to my mother from birth and said, your grandmother is your mother. She was raised till the age of 16, believing her grandmother to be her mother and her mother to be her eldest sister. Yeah, Nana, y'all remember Nana? Mm-hmm. And that destroyed my mother because it fostered a rivalry between a mother and daughter who she once thought was her sister, who was only 13 years older than her. Why am I taking this route? Because in order for you to formulate a negative opinion of yourself, there has to be something negative that broke you, that tainted your vision, that brought down your self-esteem, if you ever had any. And my mother was raised up with aunts and uncles that she thought were her brothers and sisters who tried to get her into prostitution. And my mother had a gift of song. She could sing. My mother could sing. My mother could play the piano. But she was never affirmed. She was never affirmed. The church that she was raised up in, they would mock my mother and call her by the rapist's last name. Amen. They would malign my grandmother as though she had some kind of a salacious background at 10 and 12 years old. And it broke them to the point where they never, ever became. My question is, what about you? What broke you that stopped your process? What broke you that caused you to put the brakes on your greatness? What broke you that keeps you back from success? What broke you that makes you comfortable in poverty? What broke you that makes you comfortable in a negative mindset? What broke you that makes you satisfied with not succeeding? Yeah, this is not a... That's why God had to set me back and say, don't get into all the sensationalism of today. I want you to soberly talk about this. Soberly talk about this. I got to go into the scriptures in the 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, starting at the 9th verse. And it says, I can't see this far back, but I'm going to try. I'm going to move down to the middle aisle because this monitor is out. Y'all fix that monitor. Oh, read for me, dear. Yes, thank you.
For I am the least of the apostles.
Says, I am the least. This is Paul. Now understand this. The reason why he's saying this, he's not degrading himself, but he has come to a balance. For if you read further, if you read before, when Paul comes in, he starts to declare, "I'm not a whit behind any of these apostles. I saw the resurrected Christ. I ain't a whit behind none of them." And then the more he went through and suffered, when God broke him of that ego, because sometimes you can be called with an ego. Sometimes you can be called and start to smell yourself and start to act all pomp and pious. And God's got to say, hold on, slow that roll down. Because although I anointed you, I didn't call you to be somebody famous. I didn't call you to be an emperor. I called you to be a servant. I called you to serve, not to be served. So you're seeing Paul in his revelation. For I am the least of the apostles. Read.
That am not meet to be called an apostle.
I'm not even fit to be called an apostle. I thought. Read.
Because I persecuted the church of God.
I'm going by my negative past. I persecuted the Christians. And now that I am a Christian and given such a responsibility, sometimes I sit back in awe and say, God, why did you call me after I did so much wrong? But the calling and the election of God is not based on your past. The calling and the election of God is based on who he's purposed you to be. And your past plays as a reminder, but it's not a hindrance. Your past is past. I'm trying to get through to you. I don't know if I'm going to speak in tongues today. Your past is past. Somebody hit your neighbor and look at him and say, my past is past. Only one that knows about my past is me and the person that's in my past. But as far as that's concerned, the blood has washed it away. My past is washed away. As far as the east is from the west, that's as far as God has thrown my sins. He put it into a sea called forgetfulness, not to come up in this world nor the world to come. My past is... And there's somebody in this room that needs to be happy about that, because some of us had some jacked up past. Some of us have some past that should have really condemned us, should have really killed us. We should still be strung out. Some of us had some past that was doomed to kill us, but by the grace of God, hit yourself, say, I'm still here. By the grace of God, I'm still here. Hallelujah. Read for me.
But by the grace of God.
What?
I am what I am.
But by the grace of God. I got to get off this pulpit because I want to walk these aisles. But by the grace of God. I am what I am. I'm going to stop right there. But because of God's grace, he has transformed me. And who he's called me to be is enough. I don't have to be like anybody else. The problem with us in the church world is we really get into imitation. And imitation is a counterfeit. Imitation is a counterfeit. Y'all better hear what I'm saying to you. You can see some traits that you admire, but when you try to imitate somebody, that means you're not comfortable with you. Hallelujah. And when you're not comfortable with yourself, you try to emulate someone else. But the truth is, people can spot a fraud a mile away. God doesn't want you to replicate somebody else except for him. He's the only one that he's the only one that we should try to imitate. But if I'm trying to be like another Joe and another Josephine, it's a waste of good time. Because that Joe and that Josephine has filled the bill. And I'm not classified. I've got to find out who I am. And when I find out who I am, I realize I am enough. Brokenness has to serve a purpose. Brokenness has to serve a purpose. It is not to cause you to be hobbled and to limp for the rest of your life, but it's to show you that how you were needed a reset. How you were needed a reset. Those of you that are in the medical field, if someone has a broken bone and it sets wrong, they can still function, but it's limited mobility. They can still function, but it's limited mobility based on the nature of the breakage. Hallelujah. Oh yeah, it's still functional, and the pain may even leave, but the purpose is hindered. I don't hear anybody. And so what happens is, in order to get the full usage of the appendage, they've got to go back to the doctor. And the doctor's got to evaluate. Oh, God help me. He's got to evaluate the break. Evaluate how it's set. And he's got to come back and tell you, we're going to have to operate. Why, sir? Because it's set wrong. But I can still use it. I know you can use it, but you'll never have full. You'll never have the full range as it is. So you got to trust my professional opinion. And I've got to go back and I've got to break it again. Because it's the wrong setting. I've got to break it again, so that it can be reset. I've got to break it again so you can have full mobility. I've got to break it again so you can have the full usage. Unhindered. I'm trying to get through. God help me. And what God is saying is that some of you have set in the wrong mindset. Some of you have become set in the wrong way of thinking. Some have become set in the wrong way of living. And although it's not the best, you've made it work. But you can't make it work if it's not the right thing for you. Because it won't only hinder you, but it'll hinder those coming after you. You have a responsibility to walk in the fullness of who God's called you to be. I'm not getting through to a lot of you. You know why I'm not getting through to a lot of you? Because I'm at your door knocking. I'm on your street knocking. I'm at your address knocking. Because a lot of us are sitting back in poverties that could have been prevented if we understood who we really are. A lot of us in broken relationships because we chose something based on our broken mindset. A broken mindset chooses broken people. Wow, this is harder than I thought, God. Last week was so powerful. A lot of us have messed up relationships because we were messed up. And we didn't choose rightly because we weren't thinking rightly. Hallelujah. And we sit in the rubble of our choices and we're sitting back scratching our head saying, how did I get here? Easy. You were broken, and broken people making decisions make broken decisions. And Pastor Wilson, the claps are getting less and less. They're getting less and less, and that's okay, because I want you to contemplate what I'm saying. Paul said, I had to come to the realization that I am what I am. I can't be like the rest of the apostles. I am what I am. I know Peter's pretty cool, but I am what I am. I know that the rest of the fellas walk with Jesus, but I am what I am. I know that I committed some atrocities, but God forgave me, and I am what I am. And if God didn't have a special plan for me, he would have never chosen me. I am what I am. what I am. And if you don't like who I am, I'm not going to let your dislike change who I am. I am what I am. Talk about me, have your opinion about me, but the bottom line is I am what I am. I'm not a slave to your opinion. I'm not a slave to how you want me to be. I don't have to jump through your hoop. I am what I am. And see, we are too concerned about what people think about us. Hello? We are too concerned about what people say and think. We are constantly, well, what do they think? What do they say? Did you hear what they said? What did they say? And you got your little knuckleheads around you bringing you people's opinion. Well, they said they didn't like your dress. They didn't say that. She said that. Always be careful of the they. Mm-hmm. They say that you think you something. And you start to feel depressed about people saying that you think you something. Foolish person. When they tell you that they say you think you something, that's when you smile and said they noticed. Oh my God, they noticed. I don't just think I'm something. I know I'm something. I gotta be something if people are talking about me. People don't talk about somebody who's nothing. I don't hear anybody. And when you hear hateful people talking about you, know that you made your mark. Oh, don't get angry. Don't try to defend yourself. I'm gonna get them told. No, no, no. Y'all keep talking. Because evidently, you're seeing something in me that I failed to see in myself. I am so significant that you're paying attention to me. Pastor, that's an arrogant message you're preaching. But you listening. But you're listening. Amen. Do you know what I would lose my mind if I tried to meet everybody's opinion of how I should be as a pastor. Well, you're not like my last pastor. That's why you're not there. If you want somebody like your last pastor, go back to your last pastor. It is a simple remedy. I don't hear nobody here. Do you realize in 22 years how many different opinions I've heard? You just this. Yeah, Pastor McClure, you just this. Okay. And it used to bother me until I started to realize that I've got to be comfortable and confident and who I am in God. No, y'all better hear me. I gotta be comfortable and confident in who I am in God. And I've gotta stand in that, and I gotta double down on that thing. Because God made me, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you hear what I said? You have got to get to that point of understanding God to know that he chose you intentionally. And your choice of him gives you the ability to rise above your past. We that have chosen God have been given the ability to rise above our yesterday. Everybody in here is an ex somebody. But our ex life, our past life has been done away with, and it serves as a teacher, not an anchor. It's a teacher. I am not bound to my past. I've learned from my past. Anybody? What I've learned in my past, I will never go back to again. I'm not stuck in kindergarten. I'm not stuck in kindergarten. I was in kindergarten in 1964, 4 years old. Y'all don't hear. Miss Palmer was my kindergarten teacher. And I went to kindergarten every day. And I played in the playground. Why am I preaching this? And I played in the playground. And I stood online to get my little snack. And I sat behind my desk. And I laid down at nap time. And I learned tip and mitten. And I learned my ABCs. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Y'all don't hear me. And they taught me how to read a clock in kindergarten. But now, just last week, we drove past the street of my kindergarten, Duval Boulevard. And I waved and said, "Hi, Duval." And I remembered when I used to stand at the far door, but I can't fit there no more because I've outgrown. Y'all not hearing, because I've outgrown that desk. If I tried to sit behind that desk, I'd have to put that desk on my knees and I'd have to squat down so low I couldn't get back up, because I'm no longer there and I no longer have the kindergarten mindset. I've gone past tip and mitten. I've gone past ABC. I've gone past 1, 2, 3, and I am who. That was my teaching past. That's what I learned from. But that's not who I am. The problem is we get stuck where we're broke. Can I walk over here? We get stuck where we are broken. Amen. Wherever we get jacked up, that's where our mentality gets caught up. Yes. And we become comfortable in the snare. We become comfortable in the snare. I was walking through my house yesterday, and I was looking around, and I noticed a lot of stuff was out of place, as always. And it hit me. You are comfortable with this out of place. You come in this house and go to bed, and you are comfortable with the clothes sitting on top of your suitcase. You are comfortable with having dishes in the sink. I'm just making this practical for you. I could preach something lofty, but let's come down to the real life level. You become comfortable with your shoes at your bedside instead of in the shoe closet, when you could just simply pick those shoes up, walk them to the closet, put them in the closet on the rack. But we become comfortable in our dysfunction. Yeah, we gussy up to look good in front of people, but don't want them to come over to the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm coming to your house. Oh, wait, don't come right now, don't come right now, don't come right now, don't come right now, don't come right now. Give me about an hour. Give me about an hour. And we had something called the everything drawer and the everything closet. But there were closets that you could not open up because they had everything in there. You remember people coming over, just throw in the closet, throw in the closet, throw in the closet. We're comfortable like that. And so I had to spend the whole lion's share of the night going through my bedroom and putting things in order and mad about it. Mad about it. And I start playing games on my phone, and the Lord say, "Get up, you're not finished." And I'm telling you what the Lord is saying, "Get up, you're not finished. God, leave me alone. Get up. Okay, now you finish putting things away. Now get the cloth and wipe everything down. It's not necessary. I live here by myself." That's why you need to do it. It's because you live here by yourself. And you need to treat yourself in a better way. Y'all not liking this. You need to treat yourself in a better way. You don't treat yourself better because you're in front of people. You've got to be your greatest fan. You have got to be in love with yourself enough to give yourself the best. You got to love yourself enough to give yourself the best. You deserve the best. You deserve. I know that this seems like it's not really a Christian, godly, Holy Ghost filled, Eka Messiah message. But you have got to start to live like you really are who you are, who God called you to be. Amen. And when you look at Joseph, I'll get into Keith and some of you church people. And when you look at Joseph, you see him in his daddy's house. Everything's okay. But when you take Joseph out of the house, sell him to the Ishmaelites, who tie him up behind camels, take him into slavery, and he winds up in Potiphar's house. He's now a slave. The son of Jacob is now a slave. Just because you see me as a slave doesn't mean that I got to stand as a slave. Although bound, although displaced, I still am who I am. Even in Potiphar's house, I am who I am. Who are you? I'm Jacob's boy. I'm Israel's son. I'm Abraham's seed. And even if I'm out of where I'm comfortable, I still stand as who I am. And you can't make me take down. And you can't subjugate me. I don't hear anybody here. I am boldly. I am confidently who I am. And there's nothing you can do about it. Can I come over on this side? Lie on me, Mrs. Potiphar. Lying on me. Bit of false accusation. Get me thrown into prison. But even in prison, I am who I am. Bound in a dungeon, but I am who I am. And I'm so confident in who I am that even the warden has to recognize that I'm somebody special. Hit your neighbor and say, I'm somebody special. Kathy Ann, I'm somebody special. I'm not an easy kill. I'm not a throwaway. I'm not a miscreant. I am who I am. I've been called by God. Don't let my position fool you. I may be down today. Keep your eye on me. I'm gonna be up tomorrow.
Because if I'm down today, it doesn't make a difference what you may try to do to me. I may be down today. It doesn't make a difference about the lies told on me. I may be down today. It doesn't make a difference the trials that I go through. Because what the devil meant for evil, tomorrow, I'm going to get up because God, he's going to turn it around for my good. So rejoice over me now. You might want to shout over my downfall now, enemy. You might want to dance now, devil, because just as soon as tomorrow comes, all of my weeping might be for tonight, but joy is going to come. God's going to send his deliverance. God's going to send his hope. God's going to send his love. All in the day of tomorrow, give God a praise.
Let's go! Let's go!
to tell. I am who I am. I am above and not beneath. I am who I am. I am always triumphant. I am who I am. I am more than a conqueror. I am who I am. And that's just the truth of it. I'm satisfied. I'm confident. I will not remain in a lower state. I am growing. I'm growing. And I'm going forward. If that's you, give God a great praise. Come on, give God a great praise. Come on, give God a great praise. I'm tired of Christians believing. Tired of Christians believing that we're supposed to live a low life. Who taught you that? I'm tired of Christians believing that our road is supposed to be weak and we're supposed to be impoverished and that we vowed some idiotic vow of poverty. Who taught you that? The Bible says that you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. The problem is you can't love your neighbor because you don't love yourself. Problem is, you haven't learned the love that goes along with being in God's image and likeness. You haven't learned how to really appreciate who you are. You are fearfully. See, you don't want to use that word wonderfully. Oh, I don't want to go that far. Go further. If you're going to imitate anyone, imitate Christ. My sister Marlene can tell you, my mother never, ever achieved real healing from that breakage. And as anointed as my grandmother was, she was never healed of the breaking that happened at 10 years old. Anointed by God, but miserable. So my grandmother threw herself into the spirituality because that's the only place that she could not be hurt. But to come out from the anointing and live a normal life, she couldn't do it. My mother had to live her life vicariously through her children so that we could be what she never became. To think of my mother and grandmother and have to really deal with the truth that they never became makes me all the more determined that I will avenge you. I will become everything that you never could. Hallelujah. I will be the example. My father could never go bowling because of his hands. Some of you didn't know my father's major deformity of hand, where his fingers were melded together and they were twice the size of normal fingers. And so he could never utilize his fingers individually. Hallelujah. And I was born with arthritis in my hands and deformations as well, webbed fingers. And my thing is, I have got to avenge my father. And I've got to be able to utilize the same deformation in a way that he could not. I must make this my goal. I will not be humbled or hobbled by the past. I will not allow my past and the DNA and the history to hold me back from my destiny. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I've come to like me. I've come to be able to look in the mirror and stop finding flaw. I've come to be able to look in the mirror and appreciate everything I've been through. Because I don't look like what I've been through. I come to the point where I don't care what they vlog about me. And I am on the vlogs constantly. People are putting my name out there constantly. But I realize that I am so much further above this that I don't have to come down to read it. Listen to me, and I'm going to close with this. When you realize who you are above your naysayers. When you realize who you are above your haters. And the only way that they can reach you is if you come down, because they can't come up. They can't come up. I happened to see something on social media. It was about an eagle. And it said that the eagle has a nemesis, the crow. The crow is a nemesis of the eagle. And when the eagle flies, the crow flies and gets on the eagle's back and pecks it in the back of the head. And the eagle never returns. He never returns the attack. Because when you're an eagle, the lesser birds don't matter. You can pet me, but you can't stop me. And then it said, when the eagle gets tired of the pecking crow, he just stretches his wings and flies higher to an altitude that the crow can't breathe. And the crow falls off. And the eagle keeps in flight. We've got to develop an eagle's mentality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. I'm speaking life into people right now. Shall renew their strength. They won't be like a crow. You can find a crow walking on a highway. You can find a pigeon walking in a park. I don't hear anybody. But you'll never see an eagle walking down the street. The eagle is where the other common birds can't go. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. I'm talking to the eagle. Mount up. I'm talking to you eagles. Mount. Mount. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Not a crow, not a raven. As an eagle. And I command every eagle, shed your crow mentality.
I speak to every eagle. Shed your raven mentality.
Everyone standing. Everyone standing. Every eagle standing. You've been down too long. You've been apologizing for who you are for too long. You've been living beneath your privilege based on your broken choices for too long. It's time for you to fly. It's time for you to gain wind and go to the heights. It's time for you to free yourself from the low altitude of your self-deprivation. It's time for you to get up. Get up to where the eagles fly. No more. You are not your past. You have passed your past. And you are in your present on your way to your future. Why do you still have an anchor in yesterday? Free yourself from the anchor. And be comfortable with who you are.